This is File 40. I am interviewing Stacy Dodge, the manager of the Lakeville Grove. The location is at the Grove Building, and the date is January 15th, 2013. May I have your full name?
Stacy Lynn Dodge.
Where were you born?
At Great Barrington Hospital.
Fairview?
Yes.
Your birthday?
7/3/1963.
And may I have your parents' full names?
Henry S. Dodge and Linda L. Dodge.
And do you have siblings?
I do. I have an older brother, Michael, and a younger sister, Donna.
And where were you educated?
In Region 1 at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
And I believe you also attended Salisbury Central.
I did.
All right. Now, I'm going to start off with, if I can find number one, wherever I put number one. I want you to tell me about your background with the Grove, starting when you were a youngster. Who was the manager? What did you do? That sort of thing.
Okay. Born and raised in this area, so I grew up here. And when I was growing up, the manager was Frank Markey. And then I grew up and became a lifeguard, and Jim Rutledge was the manager at that time. And then I also worked under John Pogue, who was the manager before me. And then I took over after John retired.
Did you do anything else besides lifeguarding as far as working for either Mr. Pogue or Mr. Rutledge?
Mr. Pogue, I was the store manager. And under Mr. Rutledge, I was just a lifeguard.
That's a very important job.
It's very important, and I agree 100%.
He knew who to pick.
Yeah, yes.
Now, how did you get the job here as manager?
I had worked under John Pogue as the store manager, and then he was due to retire. They weren't sure what they were going to do, and I went into the selectman at the time, which was Bud Trotta, and said, I think I can do that position. And if I take over, you don't have to advertise and all. And he said, I'll give you a try. And hence, 20 years later, I'm still here.
Are you still on probation?
No, I think I'm off.
Oh, my. All right, you've been here 20 years. I think
yes.
That's incredible. How many staff do you have?
It's just myself and one other maintenance man that are here full-time. After summertime, we go from two of us to around 26.
That's a large staff.
It's a large staff, but we're very busy, and this is the hub of town. And in the summertime, everybody's here. And so, you know, that includes lifeguards and swim instructors
mm-hmm.
and my store staff and maintenance crews. And
let's break that down a little bit. The store staff, how many do you have?
I have seven.
And maintenance?
There's four in the summertime.
Lifeguards?
And the rest is lifeguards.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, you said that the lifeguards stagger their hours so that not everybody is on all the time.
Correct. That covers days off and all, yes.
Okay. What are your basic responsibilities? I know everything, but...
Yeah. We break it down, actually, into seasons around here. We have fishing season that starts in mid-April and runs to the end of October. And then we have summer season that is when the children get out of school, depending on snow days, somewhere in mid-June to the end of August. And then we have fishing season again, and then we have our winter season. So, you know, my duties cover a lot, a variety of things. Summertime is just basically overseeing the park and all the people here and the staff. Prior to the summer, we are fixing things and repairing and getting ready for the season. And then we slowly get into fishing season, and that kind of gears us up for the summer season.
Now, I want to ask you about fishing season as far as the youth of the community. Back when you were in my sixth grade, everybody was out here for fishing season. Has that changed?
Yes, it has drastically. Each year we seem to have fewer and fewer young fishermen.
Do you still have the Cub Scouts doing the early morning breakfast?
We have a fisherman's breakfast every year, but it's not the Cub Scouts doing it. It's actually On the Run Coffee Shop has done it now for 5 or 6 years.
I see. Okay.
And they come in and do a buffet, and mm-hmm. it's a wonderful thing. The kids, every year we have a fishing derby mm-hmm. for the children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we look back through the pictures, it's the same kids that have kind of started when yeah. they were little and go right through until they're too old to be in the yeah. fishing derby.
You may or may not remember, but when I was teaching sixth grade, I would say to the boys, if you'd like to get an A in science, bring me a cleaned fish. And I had several cleaned fish.
Nice.
Of course, they also knew that I was sort of being facetious. They had to earn their A, but it was a nice little joke.
Sure.
We had a lot of fun with that. What are some of the projects that you have put in place while you've been here manager?
Well, the biggest thing is this new building. Mm-hmm. That was huge, and that was, of course, the largest. We've had a new playground. We've done new rafts, new docks, new swim team docks. We have gotten rid of the old wooden boats that were here forever and got metal boats that we have. We've done a new dock system for our boats. We've instituted new programs for the children. They have sailing and kayaking and paddle boarding. And we work closely with the rec department so that some of that is covered yeah. in both our departments.
Do you have responsibility for Factory Pond and the ice skating?
We do. When Mother Nature provides us yep. with enough ice, we clear the ice there. And then we are also responsible for the sidewalks in Salisbury. We take care of those and maintain those.
Ah.
And the paddle tennis courts here okay. in the parking lot.
As I noticed coming in this morning, it was no ice skating.
Yes.
And oh well. Now, because you have a varied schedule, your hours are varied, but on average, how many hours do you work?
If we average it out over the year, it's probably 45 hours a week.
And summertime, you're doing more than...
Yeah, sometimes it's 60, and then in the winter, sometimes it's 30.
Why do you like this job?
Well, growing up here, I know a lot of the people. I've had a lot of rapport with the younger people. Working in the rec department, you see them in different venues, and, you know, I worked as a ski instructor, so I had them in ski programs and softball and soccer, and then they come here, and you kind of watch them grow, and I've been here long enough that the children I babysat now have children. So you kind of
see... That's a little daunting, isn't it?
It is, but you kind of see it go full circle, and yeah. that's the nice part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was teaching the last class, I had 5 children whose mothers or fathers I'd had.
Right, yeah.
My mother says, you're mean. I am, sit down and don't breathe.
Yes.
But, you know, they knew what to expect.
Right.
It makes it a lot easier.
Right.
Now, you gave me a wonderful fee schedule, so I don't have to ask you that. What are some wishes for the future?
We'd like to incorporate a new playground that actually kind of caters more to the older children. It now is geared towards little ones, and we'd like it to kind of focus on the older kids a little bit.
So that there's a progression from little to middle.
Right.
Now, you told me a couple of wonderful stories, and I'm going to ask you to tell me about the snow hut.
Oh, yes. Art Wilkinson was our rec director, and I worked under Art teaching ski lessons. And then as Art got busy with other things, basketball and all, I took over the ski program. And I had, well, he's not young anymore, but at the time I had Kevin Cantelli, who was just, Kevin was maybe five. And every year Kevin would come and do ski lessons with me and all, and then I'd see him here in the summertime. So he said to me one day, "Is this your winter home? And is the Grove your summer home?" And I looked at him and went, "Yes, yes, pretty much it is." And that just started the whole thing. And at the banquet, at the end of the ski season, we had an awards banquet. And I called Kevin up and I said to him, "I just want to clear the air that, you know, I don't live at the Grove or the ski hill. I do have a home, and, you know, I don't have a country and two homes."
That's a typical kid comment.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, it was wonderful.
Is this your home?
Oh, my. Then the other one, and this is much more serious. Tell me about getting streetlights in Salisbury.
Oh, well, I was told this story by Jim Du Bois, and we were just talking, and Jim was very close to the family, and he just telling stories, and he said, "Oh, yes, my niece came to visit, and she went downtown with one of the Whitbeck girls." And I don't recall what Whitbeck he had mentioned. And back then, they used to have people that would wander through. And, you know, men going from town to town looking for work or just, you know, traveling. And so they were downtown, and this gentleman chased them home. And I don't know if he was looking for money or what the story was, but they came running back to Jim's house and very upset that they had been chased by this traveler. And so Jim went to the town and they put in streetlights to make it safer for the young people to walk downtown.
I think that's absolutely wonderful.
I mean, who would have even known if Jim hadn't just one day, we were just talking, and,
Oh, I think that's marvelous.
So.
Now I'm going to ask you about the trees that were dedicated to George Kiefer. Would you give us some background on the grove?
Sure. It's the oldest natural grove of oak trees in the state of Connecticut. And these trees have been nurtured and taken care of for years, and they've been overseen by George Kiefer.
And these are white oak?
Yes, they are. So we take a lot of pride in the trees, and we have a huge effort to try to maintain these trees. And they're all about the same age. So as they start to die off and, you know, get diseases and all, we'd like to keep the strain going. So we collected a number of the acorns and passed them out to different people. Curtis Rand took a few, and George Kiefer took some, and I took some, and we grew these small saplings, and the Cub Scouts came down and planted the trees with George Kiefer, Curtis Rand, and myself. And we have 12 of the trees that we're trying to nurture until they get large enough to be, you know, permanent fixtures here in the park.
When I asked Curtis Rand about this, the grin was from ear to ear.
Yes.
He was just so delighted.
Yes.
And this is, again, this is local history that's being perpetuated.
Exactly.
Which is so important.
Yes.
Civic responsibilities. What do you do besides the grove? Are you in Swassa?
No, not anymore. I was in Swassa, but I'm not anymore. No. I don't do a lot of it anymore, only because I have a 13-year-old. I have a 13-year-old daughter who's very active and busy. So
you need to be focused that
yes,
way.
Yes. It's not as prevalent as it used to be. My time.
It goes in cycles.
Yes.
It goes in cycles. But you were in Swassa. You also said that you were involved in the student work program.
Yes.
That's privately funded.
Yes.
And few other things that you're laying fallow now, but we'll go back to later, perhaps. Are there any other things that you'd like to add to this interview that I haven't covered?
I think we've covered everything, but it's very close, near and dear to my heart being here. I grew up here, and the staff that I have are people that have also grown up here, or their children have grown up here. Holly Reed is one of my staff members, and I babysat Holly's children when they were little, and Holly's children both worked for me, and now Holly's here with me. So, you know, and I have multiple staff members that with the same similar scenario. And it just, we take it very personally here. It's very near and dear to our hearts that we have, this is our grove and we kind of nurture it. And, you know, this, yes, I'm a town employee, but it means more to me than just being a town employee.
It has to. It has to. The care and the love, and I mean that,
yes,
that goes into nurturing.
Yes.
This wonderful asset that we have.
Absolutely it is. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yes.
Stacy, thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.